Hey there, and welcome to this episode of Online Courses That Sell. I'm Samantha King, and I am so excited for you to listen to this episode with introvertpreneur coach Tara Reed. And we are really diving in to my borrowing other people's audiences strategy and how you can make that work as an introvert. It's just a casual chat about how to set boundaries, how to pick a strategy that works with you, and how to not feel pressured to do the things that don't work or make you feel uncomfortable as an introvert and using this borrowing other people's audience strategy. I am so excited for you to hear this episode with Tara. She dropped a ton of nuggets as well as some awesome, awesome tips to help you navigate the borrowing other people's audience strategy as an introvert. So go on and listen to this episode. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this session of Online Courses That Sell. I am so excited about this episode because we are going to be talking about my favorite thing, how to borrow other people's audiences. But we're going to be talking about it from a different angle because it can be a little bit scary when I start talking about borrowing other people's audiences. There's the traffic component, which is really borrowing other people's audiences, putting yourself out there, pitching yourself, getting yourself in front of different audiences and working with other people. Then, you know, you got to get them back to your authority island, that place on the internet where you are the expert. And that can be scary, thinking of yourself as the expert. And then asking for the sale, right? That conversion process. And it can be pretty, uncomfortable, especially if you identify as an introvert, which is why I am so excited to be talking to Tara today about how to do all this, how to use the borrowing other people's audience strategy as an introvert, how to set boundaries, how to pick the strategy that works for you and ignore the noise and the pressures from other people to do the things that just don't work. But before we get started in this conversation, I would love, Tara, for you to introduce yourself to everybody and let them know, you know, what we're going to be talking about today and how you, of course, are the expert in this.
Yeah, so I am Tara Reed. I've been in the online business space for over 16 years now. So it's been a long journey, and I'm a huge introvert. I think that's what attracted me to building my own business, being my own boss, and working from home. But then the flip side of that was that, okay, now I'm doing this all on my own, so I have to market myself and get visible and put myself out there and show up. And that can just be so terrifying. Like, it almost paralyzed me at the start of my business journey because I was taking in all this information about like what you have to do, how you have to show up. And it's just, it can get really overwhelming and really exhausting. So I really love now helping other introverts learn that there's other ways that you can grow your business. You don't have to do things that aren't fun for you or that are just exhausting and you can't do on a consistent basis. So just because somebody says, yeah, reels are amazing, everyone needs to be on reels right now, that doesn't mean that it's the best use of your time.
Yes, exactly. I love that. I mean, it's so funny because a lot of the time I was just saying, I'm getting ready to say goodbye to Instagram. And I know that some people might be like, oh, that's blasphemous. But I'll tell you, I deleted my Facebook page earlier this year too, because I really identify with what you were just saying, which is doing what's right for me. Because a lot of the people who are on Instagram and they're like, oh, do this on Instagram, I grew my followers in, you know, 5 days by 10,000 people or whatever. And I always look and go like, yeah, but that's because you're teaching other people how to use Instagram. So it's natural that you're going to get more people because they want to know how to use Instagram. And I'm always wondering, like, you know, do I have to do that? Is it because of who their audience is that they're seeing that growth? And then, you know, it's that imposter syndrome and that fear, not fear of missing out, but like, you know, the voice in the back of your head that's like, oh, they say there should, that I should be doing this. So, you know, I really just have to, I have to do it. Or that message that's like, oh, just push yourself outside of your comfort zone. Just do it. It'll be fine. Like, that's not real reality for all of us, is it, Tara?
I despise when people say push yourself outside your comfort zone, because I listened to that advice for so long. Like, I pushed myself every single day to do things that were terrifying, I really didn't want to do, and it led to burnout, like major burnout.
Yeah.
So I think like taking yourself outside your comfort zone to test things and see what's going to feel good and work for you is great, but I don't want to have a business where I have to push myself outside my comfort zone every single day. Like, that's not fun for me.
No, exactly. And so let's talk about that, because there is this messaging, right? Video is king, reels are king, you know, do this, do that. And we can feel like, oh, we need to do this. Or if we're not seeing the results, it's because, you know, we're not doing that. And that's why I say, first and foremost, like when I was talking about those people on Instagram, I always take everything with a grain of salt, and I love to dig deeper and say, okay, but why was that your result, right? When I see stuff like that, you know, is it because your audience are people who want to learn how to use Instagram? So of course, naturally, you're getting all the followers. But I think there's also a piece to it about setting boundaries. And I would love to hear how you set boundaries to make sure that you're only doing the things that align with how you want to market and sell in your business.
Yeah, I'm really big on what I like to call following my energy. So I love, like, for the longest time, I felt like, yeah, there's all these rules around business and what you have to do. And it wasn't until I was like, no, this isn't working for me. I need to figure out how to do it in a way that actually feels good for me, and follow my energy. So if I feel like doing a live workshop, I will do it. And then if I don't for the next 3 months, that's fine. I have other marketing methods, like email, like sales funnels, like my private Facebook group. Like, I have so many ways to bring people into my world that's not what I don't love to do. So I'm big on following my energy and listening to how I feel about something. I'm also big on like testing things and trying things out. Like, I think it's good if you do have a fear and holding you back from trying video, to try working through that fear just to test it out. But if you try it and you're like, yeah, this isn't for me, then you can find other ways to market and grow your business that aren't going to feel so stressful. Because, I mean, I didn't start a business to be stressed out all the time. That's why I left corporate.
Exactly, right? This was not the plan, to be, you know, feeling bad about myself every time I had to make a video, or beating myself up because I didn't post on Facebook today. You know, that really wasn't what I am here to do on this earth. I'm sorry. I love how you talk about, you know, following the energy. And I think people tend to think, well, yeah, okay, follow my energy. Well, sometimes I just don't feel like doing that. And I think that there's an importance to that, because when I talk about borrowing other people's audiences and picking strategies that work for you, I always say the worst thing you can do is pick a strategy, a marketing or sales strategy, that you are going to avoid at all costs. Yes, people are talking about TikTok right now. People are talking about podcasting. They're talking about YouTubing. But if you're a writer, or you don't like to be, you know, you don't like the sound of your voice, you don't want to be on camera, then find a different way to communicate. And that's okay, right? You might try blogging. I mean, I know, Terry, you are somebody who has successfully teaches people about Pinterest, one that's often underrated. How do you help your clients navigate that? How do you help them navigate picking a strategy that they are really going to, that's going to align with their energy when it comes to sales and marketing in their business?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just figuring out what your strengths are and what you really love to do, and then how that can translate into a strategy. Because like you said, like if you really love writing, you have great opportunities for blogging, for writing content on a platform like LinkedIn, which is less, I feel like LinkedIn is less hustle and noise compared to Instagram.
Yeah, I agree.
So that could be a better option. And then with blogging, you can tie it into also email marketing, also Pinterest. There's just so many ways that you can do multiple methods and tie them together too, that is going to make it a lot easier on you, because I know we all like, we want to be everywhere, which is impossible. But if you pick a method that works well, and you're able to figure out a strategy where you can make the methods that you choose work together, then that is going to make your entire marketing feel so much easier and so much smoother.
Yeah. And I think one of the things that I heard you say was, you know, you can pick different strategies. You want to stick with them. You want to get a foundation, get them going, but you also want to leverage them and make sure that they tie together. Because Tara, I know you're multi passionate. So you were saying, you know, like sometimes you might move to a different platform. You might follow your energy to a different form of sales and marketing, but you have taken the time, and you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but you've taken the time to set up the foundation. Say you wanted to switch to blogging or email marketing or Pinterest. I mean, obviously you started somewhere, but you don't just kind of go into it for a week and then go to the next thing. You're more intentional about it, right?
Yes. Yeah. I think what works and is probably best is to choose, like, figure out and find your one primary method. And then stay consistent with that primary method. So for me, that always goes back to my email list. My email list is my main priority in terms of like growing my list, nurturing my audience. But then I will also play with secondary methods like blogging, like Pinterest, like LinkedIn. Right now, I'm playing a bit more on LinkedIn and growing my private Facebook group. So there's lots of ways that you can move around your secondary methods. But I think if you find a really good one that you can stick with, that is like your primary focus, that's really going to drive your marketing methods forward.
100%. And I call that, for those who are listening, I call that primary focus your authority island, that place where you are the expert and you're going to master that. And I love how you talk about, you know, your secondary pieces, because they can drive traffic back to your authority island. And so for you, it's your email list. So, you know, you're playing on LinkedIn right now, you're promoting the Course Creators Conference that I'm going to be speaking at. And if you are listening to this, this happened in September of 2022 when we recorded this, and you're promoting that, and that is getting, you know, again, with a summit, you're getting new people on your list, you're re-engaging people who might be on your list, they might be following you on LinkedIn and on your list. And I think the importance is to leverage it. I know you're big on SEO as well. You have your Searches to Lead Accelerator. And when you're leveraging things like email marketing, blogging, and Pinterest, that's also helping you leverage SEO, right?
Yes. Yeah. It all perfectly works together in like a well-oiled organic attraction machine, as I call it. Because I think that's a big thing for introverts, is like, we tend to not want to have to constantly engage on platforms like Instagram. Whereas if we focus on our strengths, where it's more about bringing people into our world, like through SEO, through lead magnets to get people onto our email list, through blog content, like that really is more attraction marketing, which I think is a lot more powerful and easier for a lot of introverts to do versus feeling like you have to constantly engage and hustle. And whether that's in Facebook groups or on Instagram or TikTok or any other platform, I feel like the organic methods are a lot more powerful for introverts.
And I think that attraction marketing, like if you're sitting, even if you're not an introvert and you're sitting here listening to us saying like, wow, yeah, I would love it if the right people just found me. This really becomes, you know, this attraction marketing really becomes, you know, what you're doing in the background. It's how you create systems. It's how you, the word scale gets thrown around on social media and stuff. But I like to think of it this way. I mean, when I'm on Instagram, yes, my followers are there, but I'm contending with an algorithm. So I'm almost standing at the state on the stage, you know, and I'm screaming at the audience, right? And they're not even, unlike a rock concert, like they're not even like getting to hear, like I'm not screaming my song because, you know, the algorithm may not be showing them my, like, may not be showing them my performance. If that makes sense as an analogy, right? Where when you're putting out content and you're utilizing SEO, then they're finding you on their own. And I almost feel like it's a stronger bond that gets forged in that moment.
Yeah, because if somebody is searching and finds you through Google, like, they're already searching for whatever it is you do, which means that they're like, they're not necessarily even a cold lead anymore. Like, they're actively looking for what you offer. So they're kind of slightly warmer than maybe cold traffic coming from Instagram. And I love what you said about being screaming on Instagram, because that's probably one of the big reasons why I left. It wasn't that, you know, Instagram wasn't working, or like, I love creating content. It wasn't that part of it. It was more like anytime I went on the platform, I felt like there was just so much noise around me. And it felt like every post or reel in my feed was just like screaming information at me. And it was just way too much. So it was information overload. So that's also where I come in, the like, follow your energy. Like, I knew Instagram was just causing me overwhelm and frustrating me. So even as a consumer, not necessarily as somebody who is using the platform to grow my audience, it was getting way too much. So if you're feeling the same way, it's totally okay to ditch Instagram, or even just focus on maybe Instagram stories. I feel like if I do ever come back to Instagram, that's probably what I'll focus on, is just stories, instead of constantly creating posts and fresh content.
Yeah, that's where I'm at right now, where I like to post my stories, I like to share things, but I'm not necessarily worried too much about, you know, how many people are seeing them and what's going on. It's really more of a way, like, my energy there is in expressing myself. I do know that there are going to be people in the audience that think like, oh my God, you know, she's talking about not using Instagram, and that one, you know, deleted her Facebook page. And can I really do that? Because everybody is saying that I have to do these things, you know, I have to be everywhere and doing all the things. What advice do you give to your community when they are feeling those pressures, even though they know deep down that is not the way they want to market, that is not going to work for them? How do you help them? You know, what do you tell them to help them through those feelings of feeling pressure to do the things that they know just aren't going to work?
I think one thing that is usually really insightful is looking at your numbers, because that was really the catalyst for me deciding, like, yeah, I'm finally making it official. I'm ditching Instagram. I took a look at my data, but not only the analytics and the numbers, but also how much time I was spending on Instagram, whether it was engaging or content posting, just scrolling the app and getting lost in posts. So I took a really good look at how much time I was spending, and the numbers were really insightful. Like, I think at the time, I did this in January, and I didn't leave until, I think it was May or June when I posted that I was leaving. I can't even remember now, but I only waited that long because I had so much content already created. So I just posted the content and I wasn't really engaging. But when I looked at the numbers in January, I was spending 10 times the amount of time and energy on Instagram than I was on Facebook. And Facebook was actually getting me 10 times the results than Instagram was. So just looking at those numbers just confirmed my feelings of, I need to let this go. It's working for engagement, but it's not actually getting the results that I want and the results that I need.
And I think that's part of it, right? People forget a lot of the time that tracking is what is going to help you feel confident in the decisions you're making in your business. It is really going to help you feel like, hey, this is okay. It's okay to walk away, because, I mean, look at what's happening over here. And it can be hard. It can be hard to track it. So, you know, working with somebody to help you track different things, like where people are coming and how that's all going, is definitely something that you're going to want to have set up. But I think that is the key thing for me. When I'm feeling pressured, I have to really sit back and go, okay, well, where's the proof that I have to, and I say this in with quote to air quotes, which you guys obviously can't see, but where is the, where is it? Where's the proof that I have to do this? That this is something I have to do? Show me how that energy is translating in sales. And then I'll figure out if I have to do that. Or translating in leads is another thing I track, and engagement. What other things do you track, Tara, when you're looking at that kind of stuff?
Usually the traffic that's being driven from a platform, that's the biggest one for me, because I really want to get people on my website. Like once they're on my website, they can see all my offers, they can get on my email list, and that's really where I focus and build my audience. So Instagram wasn't really, like, it was giving me a lot of engagement, and I'm like, you know, without diving deeper into the numbers and seeing actually how that converted to traffic, I would have been like, yeah, this is working. It's awesome. I'm getting tons of engagement and people commenting. Yeah. But when I looked at the actual traffic, I mean, I was shocked at how Facebook was doing compared to Instagram. And I'm like, I am spending at least 10 times the amount of time on Instagram, and it's getting me like zero results compared to Facebook, where I'm spending like very little time and it is getting me results.
I think that's one of the key. I mean, we're dealing in an attention economy where many of these platforms, with the exception of, I think Pinterest is more designed that, like, hey, you come here and then you go off the site to somewhere else. But most of these platforms, they want you to stay on the site. And some of them make it easier for people to leave, and it's more natural, like LinkedIn, even Facebook sometimes, where you're used to like clicking on a link and going somewhere else. But I feel like Instagram, it's really funny that you said that, because I feel like Instagram is the one where people don't leave the platform. Like they don't leave the platform. They stay there. And I feel like I very rarely click on something on Instagram to go somewhere else. Like I kind of read what I get, I might engage, and then I move on. I think that's interesting that you say that. Mm. Well, Tara, before we wrap up, I mean, we are recording this in September of 2022. My audience is, you know, going to hear it this week. And I would be remiss if I didn't tell my course creator audience is that you've got the Course Creators Conference coming up. I am going to be speaking on it, day one, I believe it is. I'm going to be on some of the panels, but my session about creating your referral worthy course, where I kind of put on my teacher hat and talk about like course design and designing something that your students are going to learn from and rave about. I'll be talking about that on day one. The conference, though, is a few days event. It runs from September 19th to the 21st. Tara, tell the people a little bit about what they can expect, because they're going to see the link to grab their free ticket. Tell them what else is being covered for the conference.
Yeah, so this conference, oh, it's going to be incredible. We have the 3 days. So it's basically for anyone who is either a current course creator or an aspiring course creator. So we have day one that's more about creating a transformational course. Day two is about actually marketing and selling that course. And then day three is more a little bit of unique or advanced scaling and marketing strategies, and also networking. So we have live panels, we have pre-recorded panels where, I mean, I'm doing the editing of the pre-recorded panels right now, and they're amazing. I ask so many hard questions to these panelists, and there's some really incredible advice and action steps in there, and we have so many amazing speakers. And yeah, it's just, we also are going to have the live panels. We're also going to have a live session with our sponsors. So we have a live session happening with Deadline Funnel. We have a live session happening with Krista from Summit in a Box. And we have a live session with Sharon from Content Sparks.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm always scrolling the page while we're talking. And I mean, some of these panels that you've recorded, it's not just about the different types of digital courses you can create and how to do that easily, but you're also talking about the student journey and the client experience, something that I know I talk about creating your referral worthy course, and also, you know, pre-selling your digital course. I mean, there's so much in here, and you've got so many, I mean, it's a diverse group, but there are so many powerhouses in the online course world. And I love how you said, you know, this is for you if you have a course, or if you're just thinking about it, even if you're like, what are these online course things about? I love that at the top of the page, it says, you know, are you ready to build a digital course that sells? Because even if you're in the idea stage, you need to be thinking about, does the market want this? How am I going to sell it? What does that look like? In order to make sure that it's not, you know, a sales flop, as I say, when you launch it.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the questions when people register for the event, which is free, by the way, everyone can get a free ticket. When you join the private Facebook group for the event, one of the questions that we ask are, do you currently have a digital course? And the answers are either no, but I'd like to, yes, but I need help with selling it, or yes, it's a huge part of my business and I like to scale it. So we're going to have all three of these kind of journeys covered. And yeah, I'm really excited about the student journey pieces, because I feel like that's something that's missed a lot too, like, or not talked about enough. It's more like, here's how to create a course, here's how to sell it. But if you miss that important foundational piece of your audience and the journey, it may not sell as well as you would like.
And it definitely won't bring them back for more.
Yeah.
Which is really what makes a referral worthy course. Well, thank you so much, Tara, for chatting with me today. I'm going to make sure everybody has the link to grab their free ticket to the Course Creators Conference, which is happening September 19th through the 21st of 2022. We are recording this in September of 22. It will be released in September of 2022. Tara, where else can people connect with you? You talked about your website. You've talked about your LinkedIn. Tell them where they should go and continue the conversation with you next.
Yeah, so probably the best place is if you go to my website, thetarareed.com. I have a free resources page with a bunch of lead magnets. Just sign up for whichever one calls to you and you'll get on my email list. And that's really where I'm sending the most valuable and helpful content.
And I can tell you, as somebody who's on our list, it's always valuable. It's never too much. And you don't feel like somebody's just throwing up information or even just sales stuff at you. You do a great job with your email list. And of course, if you grab a ticket, you'll also get on our email list. So get a ticket to the conference, go on over to her website, grab some of the free goodies she's got for you over there. I promise you, you are not going to regret it. Thank you so much, Tara, for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
And thank you to all of you for listening to this episode of Online Courses That Sell. This episode of Online Courses That Sell is brought to you by the Course Creators Conference, happening September 19th through the 21st. Look, I know that you tend to struggle with things like getting your people excited enough to say yes to your course even before creating it, or having a million course ideas and no launch strategy for any of them, or wanting to perfect your student experience so you get raving fans who don't just buy once and disappear. This is what the Course Creator Conference is all about. If you are ready to finally create a course empire and sell your courses, maybe even selling them before you create them, then this conference has you covered. You're going to learn so much about creating digital courses, marketing strategies, authentic selling, and real ways to make passive income with courses. Go to sellyouronlinecourses.com/course/conference to get your free ticket and join myself, Tara, and some amazing other speakers and panelists to find out everything from creating your first course to evergreen course launches at the Course Creator Conference, happening September 19th through the 21st. Go to sellyouronlinecourses.com/course-conference to get your free ticket right now. I'll see you there.